let's roll right into talking a little wine. What do you think? Can we make that happen? Yes, indeed. Message in the bottle. Brought to you on Downtown every week by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company at 86 Hammond Street in Bangor, right between Brahma Grill and Fiddlehead Restaurant. Eric Meehan from Bangor Wine and Cheese, right here in studio.
Hi.
Welcome, sir.
I'm sorry I'm late. I am.
It's downtown.
It's downtown, and it's busy time.
It is. It's a very busy time for you, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody's getting their stuff to deal with their families.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah.
Although I was reminiscing that I always used to be in for a good old fashioned family fight on any holiday.
Well, I could count on it,
but my family is tamed since then. We've lost the dynamic characters in the same room that would foster that animosity, and
even the election won't bring that out of them.
It's because election fatigue is a real thing,
true.
So I think everybody's just kind of like,
nice.
God, I hope we make it.
Hey, now, for people who are getting ready for the holidays and have maybe waited till the almost last minute, what will be your hours tomorrow at Bangor Wine and Cheese?
Normal hours. We're open tonight until 8 o'clock, and then tomorrow from 10 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock. So come on in. It's busy, but everybody's always in a good mood, and we're all just it's a holiday that we just eat and are thankful for the things we have,
right?
And we have a lot to be thankful for, so it's everybody's like, so it's a great time. Come on out, and we'll help you out, for the hard to please and the easy to please alike. We're fully stocked and we're all good. And then also for those of you who enjoy supporting downtown as opposed to the mega malls of the world, Plaid Friday is this Friday for all downtown, and a lot of shops, including us, are doing a special little giveaway if you wear plaid. And then Small Business Saturday, we're also doing 6 bottles of wine or 6 large format bottles of beer for 10% off. So 6-pack Saturday for all of you who need that.
Fantastic. And how about the Brilliant Bordeaux? Still available?
The Brilliant Bordeaux. Some of it is still available. Several cases of the one that I bought, more cases of, the Chateau Terrain, and then a couple cases, I think a couple bottles left of the other. Lots of good wine. Just, I obviously stock up because I know we're helping a lot of people lubricate themselves. So we're good. Just come on in. We'll
Fantastic.
Set you up. And beer and meat and wine and cheeses, lots of cheese.
Mm.
So we got to talk about Uruguay.
Yes, we do.
Because, it's the 22nd of November, and we haven't talked about Uruguay yet. I don't know what we're thinking.
Write that wrong.
So we've been talking about South America, and we've hit some of the bigger ones, the Argentina, and we hit Chile last week, and of course we all remember the diversion of the beer from 2 weeks back.
Very well.
Including Bruce Pratt, who came in today talking about how you were talking about it and bought himself a bottle. So
we're all set.
But Uruguay is a really interesting wine-producing country. It's South America's fourth largest producer of wine, second to Chile, Argentina, and Brazil. But it's a more serious wine producer and a little bit more present on the world stage than Brazil, which beats it as the third biggest producer. Uruguay was, in terms of wine, most importantly, settled in the 1870s by Basque immigrants and Italian immigrants of winemaking orientation. And if you'll all recall why that was, is because that was when all the vineyards of Europe were being killed by the phylloxera louse that was brought over from North America. Thank you, North America. Something the Europeans were not particularly thankful for in that whole cross-pollinization thing. So there was a lot of people coming over to South America with clippings of things. That's how we ended up with Malbec in Argentina. That's how we ended up with Carmenere in Chile. And that's how we ended up with the wine we're drinking today, which is the grape Tannat, T-A-N-N-A-T, which has become Uruguay's biggest and most important red grape. They do grow some other grapes there, including the País, which is what we call the Mission grape in California, which makes some okay wines, but they're not great. But Tannat is found in the Basque region of France, Spain, although a true Basque would never call it either of those. And it makes wines that are very, very grippy. Tannat is named for the word tannin, which is the very drying, grippy sensation that you get, the tannins in the wine. that come from the very thick grape skin. Tannat is actually considered the most healthy grape in the world because it has red pulp. It has very thick skin, so there's a lot of antioxidant qualities that go along with Tannat that don't go along with any other grape, really. But Tannat in the Basque region is a challenging wine. It's very sort of barnyardy sometimes, and it's kind of a coarse go, yeah. But in Uruguay, like Malbec in Argentina and Carmenere in Chile, has found a sort of a plushness to it that makes it very approachable. And this wine that we're having tonight, this is made by a winery called Viñedos de los Vientos. So the winds, so it's an Italian family, fourth generation that came over. So again, Italian, Basque, these are the two big players in this country as far as winemaking. And so they've taken this Basque grape of Tannat and made something really, really pleasurable. They also make a dessert wine out of the same grape that is like drinking raspberry chocolate cake. It's just divine. The other cool thing about Uruguay is that not only do you have this interesting esoteric grape of Tannat, but you have this amalgamation, and you see this in other parts of the world, of all these really interesting European varietals, but in no particular order of preference or country of origin. So you end up with things like Albariño from Spain. These folks make the white blend is Gewürztraminer, Moscato Bianco, and Chardonnay. And they vinify it very much like an Alsatian field blend. Just really, really interesting stuff. So you don't see a ton of wines from Uruguay yet, but I highly recommend things that you see, especially, and I hate to put price range into it too much, but I would say that there are a couple wines I've had that are a little rough and ragged, and those are the generally lesser priced wines. But the wines we're talking about right now are in the mid to high teens, and they're really, really excellent. Mm. So I highly recommend checking those out. But if anybody's kind of unsure of where this is, the recent Olympics in Brazil, yeah, they're right across the estuary from this gigantic river, the Rio de la Plata. So if you know kind of where Buenos Aires is, just a little bit east of there is where this main wine country in Uruguay is, in case anybody's trying to place it.
That's pretty good. What'd you think, Gary? Nice. Did you like that?
Very, very nice. Yeah, yeah. I did enjoy that. I'm not a huge. I'm sort of looking forward to being here regularly on Tuesday so I can learn a little more about wine.
The whole deal.
Because
yeah,
that's why we're here. I've always been more of a beer drinker. And I know that you can find wines that are to your palate, but I've never bothered to. So I'm looking forward to it. This one is one that is going into the plus column. For
good.
Me.
Yeah, I mean, this is a wine that I would really want with food. I mean, we're getting, you know, closer to that time when a lot of people are doing, you know, standing rib racks, things like that. This is really a wine that would sing with things like that. And, again, it's not a bank breaker, but it's different enough that, you know, I get a lot of customers requesting things like, well, you know, this so-and-so is a real wine aficionado. I'd really like something that'll impress them. And this is a wine that not only can impress, but the chances are actually pretty good that they've never had anything like it, which is really, it's fun for me to do that to people who have had it all and seen it all.
Well, and talk up Uruguay, and I now try to sprinkle in, when I can in conversation, mentions about the phylloxera louse.
There you go.
I feel people look at me like there's a level of knowledge he's got that I didn't expect.
The knowledge of the phylloxera louse will
open some doors.
Well, truly, people will be like, ah. And it's I mean, because it literally moved the wine industry from continent to continent. That's no joke. I mean, that's why we're drinking a Basque grape from Uruguay right now, is because of that bug. So, yay, phylloxera. No, that doesn't seem appropriate.
No.
But anywho, next week we're going to talk, I'm thinking about doing an experiment next week with an aged Argentine Torontes. So that's a grape that I'm pretty sure must be related to Riesling somehow, but there's no proof. But I actually happen to have some 2007 that I've squirreled away. So I'm thinking we might do something fun.
I like
that. And revisit Argentina. And before we move on in December, we'll be just doing a big recap and year-end brouhaha. It's hard to believe it's been almost a year, but we started with this last January. So we're wrapping up And but yeah, so anybody kind of getting back to the point, come out and see us tomorrow. We'll set you up for Thanksgiving, and also this weekend, shop downtown. Continue to shop downtown all throughout the holiday season. And cheers.
Fantastic. Thank you, Eric. Happy Thanksgiving to you and everybody.
Thank you for having me on about 40 minutes late.
It's not a problem. And I may see you tomorrow at some point during the day.
I'll be there.
All right. Thank you. It's 5:31 here on Downtown. When we come back, we'll talk a little SEC football, too. It's the Pulse, AM 620 WZON.